And now we have our Director of Adult Discipleship, Lori Bruins.
Good morning. Ever since I've been doing children's time, I like have to have props. So don't be surprised when I pull stuff out. And good morning, Pastor Kevin, wherever you are in Springfield. So, over the pandemic, I've always loved books and learning and being curious, but now I'm a podcast junkie and a book junkie and all this stuff. So I'm praying that all the threads of things that I've learned will come together and tie together like they do for me. So Kevin had turned me on to Bema discipleship, and so that led me to Marty Solomon, who teaches on this podcast, which then led me to his YouTube channel. And he does a thought of the day. And I just picked it. And it was amazing. It was a children's book. And in your bulletin today, you'll see the picture. And it's called, He Read a Children's Book. I mean, when's the last time you read a children's book? And it was great, and it was amazing. And it reminded me, so a few days later, just loved it. And I don't know if anybody knows who C.S. Lewis is. He's a prolific Christian writer from back when. And I get this devotion, and I loved it. So, and I thought, this is why I have to do this today. It is usual to speak in a playfully apologetic tone about one's adult enjoyment of what one calls children's books. I think the convention is a silly one. No book is really worth reading at the age of 10, which is not equally and often far more worth reading at the age of 50. Except, of course, books of information. The only imaginative works we ought to grow out of are those which it would have been better not to have read at all. Pick up a children's book. Well, this book is called Trying, and it is about a young little boy who's watching a sculptor sculpt, and he has it come out of his mouth. How do you do that? And so this is going to be a conversation about trying. We all have to try. So I'm going to, the book just goes through what it's like to try and fail. So I'm going to share and be vulnerable and share what I try to do and try and try. So there's this beautiful book. It's called a cookbook. And it's a beautiful book from the United Methodist Women here at our church. And it has the most marvelous pretzel dessert. So, Charlotte, I don't remember how many years. Valerie, I don't even remember. We did it one night. We could do this many years ago. Well, pretzel desserts have pretzels. How do you crunch pretzels? Was our thought. So we thought, we could do this. Not fine enough. I mean, we were banging it. We were doing all this stuff. So the day of the event, the dinner comes. Lo and behold, the pretzel crust rises to the top. And we're like, oh, gosh, I can't believe this. Even Charlotte remembers. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So later on, I met Betty Catron. And I said, how do you crush pretzels? No clue. So years later, I get a hankering for this, pull out the book, cookbook, try it again, nailed the crust, nailed it. A simple box of Jell-O screwed me over. You've got the recipe and you've got the box of directions on the Jell-O. I followed the Jell-O directions. It was liquid. Didn't gel. third time. Figure I got the pretzel. I got the Jell-O. Yep, the pretzel was really pretty on the bottom of the pan and stayed on the bottom of the pan. Guess what? It still tastes good, and nobody else in the family wanted it, so I just kept eating. Big 9x13. That's my trying. We all fail. We all have things that we have to just keep trying and trying. Some of the things I want to share is, in the book, it was a reminder of things that we say to ourselves in the midst of trying, the loops that we listen to. Kids' book, great. When somebody says to you, just simply do it. It's like, I can think of every reason why I shouldn't simply do it, because something's going to happen. Or, I'll just watch. I mean, how many times have I said that? I'll just watch. I can't mess things up if I watch, right? How about this one? You try. See, I told you I wasn't good. I'm just going to prove to you I'm not good. Pretzels do rise. They do. And then there's that moment where you just go, oh, I wish I was better. We don't we say that? The beautiful thing is to be able to continue to be talking to ourselves in a positive way. And a lot of us have these loops in our head that are failure, and we quit and we give up. I am one of those. I can have days where I can be so on fire and I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then other days, years, months where I'm just out there. And do you ever think, what's your fear of trying? Is there anything that comes to your mind? Yeah, that fear. Some of it, time is it's imperfection. If I can't do it right, don't do it at all. And I'm here to tell you, which is so amazing, is this Bible that we have, it's littered with people who failed. Why do we get so hung up? I'm not trying because we have to be perfect. So again, I'm a little bit of a junkie. So I Googled, there's like this phrase of trying to figure out why people don't try or whatever. And in here, Pinterest had this. This is people in the Bible. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossip. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered, Zacchaeus was short, Abraham was old, and Lazarus was dead. Why? Why do we give up? Why? We have wonderful examples within our Bible to tell us to keep trying. Last fall, I was reading, and again, when you are prolific podcast, book, you can't remember where you picked these pieces of nuggets up. So I learned about this verse, one little verse, Ephesians 2:10. Now, mind you, I have read Ephesians a few times. I mean, I think I read it. My dear friend Carolyn always reminds me, well, that wasn't in my Bible. Ephesians 2:10 was not in my Bible. Well, it appeared. So what it says is, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. Okay, guys, I got stuck. I was like, oh my gosh. He's got something for us. And then I felt a little bit better because the word us. Us doesn't mean just Pastor Kevin. It means all of you guys, us, in advance, for us to do. Couldn't get that out of my head. That crud. It's a two-letter word, us. And God needs us. And when I was reading that book, Trying, I was like, oh, I gotta try. I've gotta keep trying. In the Message Bible, this will really slay you. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. That's action-packed. What are you doing? So I thought it would be kind of interesting to reword this one verse. So I'm just going to have you repeat after me, and you can use your hands. For I am God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for me to do. How about that? You want to know the good news? One of the things that is a gift from God is our spiritual gifts. How many know what their spiritual gifts are? There's a few. Mine is, surprise, teaching. Mine is faith. And I do have administration. I think I have a few. They're like me like that. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, this is a good way to find out where you belong and what you're supposed to do. We have a wonderful lay leader, Valerie Wilson, who, if you want to, and those of you online, you can do this as well. There is a website, www.spiritualgiftstest.com. www.spiritualgiftstest.com. And Miss Valerie has agreed to help anybody that would be interested in knowing what their gifts are. It's kind of cool to find out what God has gifted you to do. There's also a really cool, if I had time and it was in my schedule, our Heartland South District is doing a spiritual gifts Zoom class taught by Reverend Emmanuel Cleaver IV. It's on Zoom. It'd be amazing. It's 2 days. It's Thursday, June 24th, and Saturday, June 26th. I wish I could do it because it would be really, really good. So I'm living in this realm of, oh gosh, we're supposed to be doing stuff. And then I remembered going back to Marty Solomon, and what he said is there's usually two types of people. There's usually the overconfident that's going to do everything. I can do this. The inflated state of self. And then there's the, I'm just here to learn and grow. That would be me. And it's like, No. This is what Marty said. He said, show up. Humbly say to yourself, I am what is needed at this moment. I am going to give what I have to give. I am not perfect, but I am here to give. We are not spiritual consumers. You are someone that God has put here to do something in this world. I don't know what God has to do for you to do, but I'm going to try. What's that look like to try? And I love this because he's also saying it could just be daily moments, those moments where we just have to be ready, and God is working. He's everywhere. Where do we see him? And then work. Do something. Try. Fail. Try again. And sometimes it's going to freak you out. He's going to talk to you and he's going to make you do stuff. One of my favorite stories, and I think it was in that Blessed book, this guy is in a shopping mall. And there's a dejected man sitting in a pew. On a bench. And God says to him, tell him that I love him. And he's like, no way I'm going to do that. So he's walking through the mall. The guy keeps reappearing in front of him. And then it's finally like, okay, fine. This is going to sound really weird, but I'm supposed to tell you God loves you. You're welcome. And the man goes, I've been wanting to hear that all day. I've been waiting. Little things, moments that we can make a difference. The last thing I want to share is another thing that I just heard last week. And I listened to Brené Brown, and I think it's Daring to Lead podcast. And she was talking to an organizational psychologist. Loved the name of his book. Think Again, The Power of Knowing What You Don't Know. I don't know a lot anymore as I get older. What I know is God knows. And that's pretty okay with me because I'm still trying to figure all this out. And he used two words that I thought was really, really good. He talked about rethink and pivot. And I was blessed probably 20 years ago to be a part of this lay leadership development. And I read this book. Couldn't find it in my junk downstairs. But it made mention that in 1967 or 69, the world started to shift a little bit. And the church missed the change. And we were always trying to catch up. And then I think about times in my life that things have shifted. 9/11, things shifted. And I think this last year, things shifted again with the pandemic. When I can recognize that there are Americans and Europeans and everybody else from all over the countries in Wuhan, China, and they can get on a plane and that can come all the way over. It's changed. So we have to rethink. And in this, I think God is asking us to rethink. What can we try to do? What is there together we can do to try? And as we start paying attention, I think as we rethink, there's this opportunity of online worship that we didn't even know existed. And people really appreciate the ability to do it online, even though I'm thankful for you guys to be here today. We need to rethink, and then we pivot. And I think God does that throughout the whole Bible. He's making people pivot all the time. I just think of these disciples that were going, and then they're going, like, Jesus is like, going, no, not that way again. I told you to go this way. Try, failure, try, failure. It's all within. Let's give it a try. So, I thought it would be neat. On the back of your bulletin here, and for those of you who are online, you can find a piece of paper, or I love technology on your iPad, your notes on your smartphone. We've written on the back, I am going to show up and try with a blank. I would love you guys to think about that. God needs you. He's the one that can guide us. He's the one that can take us where we need to go. It might freak us out a little bit, but we're going to do it together. Let's try together. So thank you very, very much, guys.
Thank you, Lori. Giving us a lot to think about.